Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Turn with me there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 is where I want to look at just for a few moments this morning as we sort of go our direction. I've been talking for the last several weeks about what I'm calling Christian optimism. Christian optimism. Remember what we've understood, and most of us know for sure, that a pessimist is one that no matter what he sees, it looks bad. It could be good, and it would still look bad to a pessimist. It doesn't matter what it is. If it looks bad, it looks even worse to him. But you know what? For the optimist, it doesn't matter what he sees. It looks good. He makes something good out of every opportunity that's out there and is available to him. And so he's looking for the best in things as an optimist. He's not one that's looking down, he's looking up. And so we've been thinking about that lately, and I've given him several passages of scripture that we can look at. In Titus chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, it talks about the blessed hope that all of us as Christians look forward to. In other words, there's a hope that after this life, Jesus Christ is coming for us. He'll take us back, called the rapture of the church, and that's a hope we have. So no matter what's going on this earth, it doesn't really matter. The Lord's going to take care of us, and he'll take us out of this place soon enough. We'll come back with him to rule and reign, and he'll set up his perfect kingdom on this earth. So that's our hope that we have. We look in scripture, and we also see in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus himself, when he went to the cross, he said he was looking. Looking, we're looking at Jesus, but he was looking for the joy that was set before him after the cross. Cross, tough experience. None of us could go through that, but Jesus did. And you know what? Absolutely hard thing of life. But yet, looking at that, he looked past it and saw the joy of you and me coming into the kingdom of God, and that made the cross bearable for him, you know. And so it's an optimistic view that we have on life, that whatever is going on, something good's going to happen out of that. In Romans 8, verse 28, scripture says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose." How many loves God? Say, "I do." How many is called according to purpose? Say, "That's me." Well, that's you. All things. Everybody say, all things work together for my good. So whatever the situation is, good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. It's going to work together for my good. All things work together. That's the view, and that's the mindset, that's the thinking, that's the attitude that optimists have. Optimists are people who have faith in God. When I'm talking about Christian optimism, faith in God, that God will see us through and he's going to make everything all right. It's like the song we sung this morning, "I got a feeling that everything's going to be all right." Amen. Not only that, I got an idea that everything is going to be all right. It's just not a feeling my body understands, but I got an idea in my mind. Everything is going to be all right. And so we looked at that. Then we also looked at, of course, in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, that we have faith in God. Now, a difference in a Christian optimist and just a regular optimist is this. An optimist says he's believing for the best, looking for the best, and hoping for the best. But we as Christians say the same thing, but behind all of it is God. God's making the best happen in our life. God is the one, he's the cause. He is the one that causes effects come in our life. So it is God that we're looking to as our strength. And so, based on what the scripture says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that he shall have those things he says, he will have whatsoever he says." Whatever he says is going to come to pass. He'll have whatever he saith. So then, if I'm an optimist, I'm going to begin saying what God says about my situation, about my world, about my environment, based on the Word of God. And the Bible says, "I will have whatsoever I say." Everybody say amen. Amen. That's Jesus' words, not mine. So that's it. I made them mine, but they're his. Okay. Based on that, we begin to look at some things that you and I feel like, or I think we ought to promise to ourselves that we ought to do in life. Now remember, you got to get yourself straight before you're able to help anybody else. Get your life right or you won't be good to nobody else. And so get a hold of yourself. Everybody say, "Get a hold of myself." I mean, self, you need to straighten up, self. If self's not walking in line, you need to straighten up. Mind, you need to get your mind right. I don't need somebody on a chain gang telling me to get my mind right. I don't tell me that every day. I'm going to get my mind right. Amen? Well, you know what? Here's what some things that I've put down that we should do. First thing we talked about, I promised myself to be strong that nothing can disturb my peace of mind. Everybody say, "I promise myself to be so strong that nothing can disturb my peace of mind." Now, why don't I start with that one? If you don't get your mind right, everything else is not going to be right. That's the starting place. You can have stuff going on good around you and got the wrong kind of mind, and you won't even know what's happening. I mean, you got to get your mind right. So we talked about that. We talked a lot of stuff. Second thing I talked about, I promised myself to talk health, happiness, prosperity to everybody I meet. Everybody say, "I promise myself to talk health, happiness, prosperity to every person I meet."
What does an optimist do? If he's looking forward to the future, he's looking to the brightness of God and what God could do in his life, the opportunities, everything that's out there, of course he's going to talk it. Somebody said, do you have to talk it? I'll say this. If you don't talk it, you probably don't have it. If you talk it, if you got it, you're going to be talking about it. I mean, it's going to flow out of you if it's on the inside. Amen? And so, I speak that to my body. Health. Everybody say, body. You're healthy. Everybody say, face. Heart. You're happy. Say, life. Livelihood. You're prosperous. Jesus' name. Amen? So, you know, we say the same thing whether the Dow goes up or the Dow goes down. We say the same thing, whether they say the economy is good or the economy is bad. I learned a long time ago, you can't have your life's happiness based on whether the Dow Jones Industrial Averages go up or down. Because nowadays, they'll go up 200 or 300 points, they'll come down 200 or 300 points the very next day. And you ask yourself, what changed in one day? All it was somebody's attitude. That's all it was. That's all that changed in one day was somebody's attitude. And so you don't let somebody else dictate your happiness, your future, your life based on their attitude? Uh-uh. We're going to take it to the streets. Amen? Smile and happiness, joy and peace, all those things. So we talked about, third thing we talked about. I promised myself to make my friends feel like there's something worthwhile inside of them. Say, I promised myself to make all of my friends feel that there's something worthwhile in them. In other words, what you make happen for somebody else, God's going to make happen for you. But at the same time, we're not coming in this world to bring this world down. We're in this world to bring this world up. As the song says, we lift us up where we belong. Jesus has made us sit with him in heavenly places. He's coming to get us. When he comes to get us and raptures the church, he's coming to surroundings of the earth. And he's going to call us up. And so, you know, anything that's going down, we want to lift up. And any person that's feeling bad about themselves and really, you know, just got situations and problems going on in their life, you and I need to be their healer. We need to be their minister. Everybody say, I'm a healer. Say, I'm a minister. So I thought that was a pastor. Oh, no. Oh, no. All of us are healers. All of us are ministers. All of us dispense love and grace and mercy to everybody we meet, whether they, you know, like it or whether they don't. Whether they're happy about it. We do it. We minister it to them. We're going to bring them out of that place. Now, and then we also talked about this. We talked about the last thing last Sunday was this. I promised myself to be just as happy about the success of others as I am my own. Everybody say, I promise myself to be just as happy about the success of others as I am about my own. What Jesus said? He said, love others as you would love yourself. And so you know what? We get happy when somebody else is blessed. You ought to try to look for other people's blessings and see what it is that they have and what's going on in their life and what's in the smile on their face. There was a young man that just sort of, we didn't know him in ministry. Sheila and I, we went out to on our Friday night date, and so we went to a restaurant afterwards, part of our date that night, and this young man just came with us, and he just couldn't stop talking when he got around us. And we were just sitting there. He just looked so happy. He looked so nice. And we were in a place that wasn't an expensive restaurant at all, but we were in a place that they normally don't wait on tables, but he did. And boy, he waited on our table. He just got us anything, everything he wanted. He was so happy. He was so full of peace and joy. And we just, you know, loved him right back. And that's what you do. You look for people. You see people doing something good. You compliment them. You're doing a great job. Hey, man, look at you. All this kind of stuff. You just love on people and minister to them. Amen? And so you celebrate. You celebrate the accomplishments of other people. Now, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Let me give you new territory today. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Let me get there, too. Go to the book of Psalms and then Proverbs. Then you're going to hit Ecclesiastes right around there. Right before the book of Isaiah. If you hit Isaiah, you've gone too far. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, here's something else. If you're really going to be a Christian optimist or a Christian person with faith, you're going to be a person that he just makes it a point of his life that he is going to look on what we'll call the sunny side of life. Now, I don't know how many of you hear the expression today, but years ago it used to be a very popular phrase that we look on the sunny side of life. In other words, not where the dark clouds are, not where the rains and the storms are coming, but where the sun is shining and life is flowing, the wind is, you know, just blowing, the birds are singing. I mean, the sunny side of life is where we look at. In other words, I promised myself to look on the sunny side of everything and to make my beliefs or make my optimism come true. I'm looking into a situation, and whether it's good or bad doesn't matter. I'm going to look into that situation as if it's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to look into that situation, recognizing that in that, I'm going to make my dreams come true. I'm going to make my realities, my things in life that are not reality, I'm going to cause them to become a reality in life. And you do it in everything. Now, let me read the scripture and you'll see why that's important. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters. Notice the word waters, more than one, for you shall find it after many days. Give a portion, notice the word a portion, to seven and also to eight. Seven and eight. A portion seven ways. A portion eight ways. For you know not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree falls toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falls, there shall it be. He that observes the wind will not sow. And he that regards the clouds shall not reap. For thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones grow in the womb, or her that is with child. Even so, you know not the works of God who makes all. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. For you know not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good. And looking at this passage, what you see the writer encouraging people to do is don't live your life based on what you see. If you're a farmer and you get up in the morning and you look at the weather and you look at the issues that are around in the climate and you say, well, it don't look like anything's going to grow. Not a good day to plant. Nothing's going to happen. What the writer here is telling us to do is go ahead and sow your seed. Sow it in seven or eight places. Do something a lot of places. Disperse it a lot of places. Because you don't know which one of those is going to pay off. But we do know this. If we do not sow, we're not going to have a harvest. Look at verse 4. The person that observes the wind will not sow. Some people look at their surroundings. They look at it like this. And you say, we're talking about wind. Well, let's make it reality. You look about, well, there's no jobs around here. I'm not even going to go look. Somebody's working somewhere. I mean, I see the electricity on, don't you? Somebody made that happen. We all got here today in vehicles that somebody made and that we bought, isn't that right? Had some gas and oil in it, didn't it? And we may have, I mean, washed a car this week or, you know, did some stuff on it. Somebody was there somewhere, did an oil change, something, you know. Somehow we all got clothes on somebody made somewhere, didn't they? Somebody somewhere was working, amen. But now, if you want to look at the economy and listen to the news, they'll say, well, you know, not even using trying. And that's what he's talking about. You look at that, and you don't know. But what he says in verse 5, you don't know the way of the Spirit. You don't know what God can do in your life, if that's what you're thinking. And so, you know, what we do, and as a Christian optimist, as a person that has faith and believe and has hope in the future, he pays no attention to what's going on around him. He pays no attention to what is happening. He's going to sow his seed because he knows this. If he doesn't sow a seed, he'll never get a harvest. And so if you sit back and say, okay, I won't go today. If you sit back tomorrow and say, okay, I'm not going to do anything tomorrow either. Looks bad then too. At the end of the week, it's still looking bad. You hadn't done anything all week and you've wasted a week of your life. Everybody say amen. And what has happened? You don't have anything out there coming back towards you. Not anything. And so you've got to sow. You've got to put stuff out to get stuff back. And the thing is this, you don't know what might pay off, what might happen. That's the point of this passage. He says, sow seven or eight different ways. Now, if you were talking about finances and investing, you would say this, diversification. That's the word they use, diversification. That's to put it a lot of different places. And teaching years used to be that if you invested money, put some money in bonds. Because sometimes the bond market does well and put some money in stocks. And sometimes the stock market does well. And, you know, and one's up, one's down, one's up, one's down. You know, you'll be in the one that's up all the time when they switch places. And that's got some good thinking to it, too. But I also learned a few years ago, if you can know what's up all the time, then you can make money all the time rather than be down. Now, you don't just do that overnight, but there is a way to get into some of that. But you put your money out there, and you diversify, and you put it different places. You should not be depending on anything. And I say this, too. And this is not particularly the teaching of this lesson today. But in the area of finances, there should not just be one place in your life that you make money called a job. You should have more sources of revenue and sources of income than just your job. You say, well, how do you do that? Well, on your job, you make money, and some of that money you take and invest. and you put it out there in other things that make you money other ways. And put it out, how many ways? I don't know. He says 7 or 8 right here. 7 or 8. Go different directions. So what? If in the world one of those things fail, then you've got other directions that you're still going. And that's going to lift you up and carry you to that time when you've got failure in one area of these. And so you need to be out there. You need to be doing more than just one thing in your life. I mean, how many of you, if you went into the went to exercise, Miss Shirley, and you were lifting weights, and you just went, every time you went, you just used your right arm, and you just did this every day with 15 pounds of weight. I mean, that's not it, is it? Do they do more than that? Oh, okay, smile when you say, yeah. But what do? We cross train. We do different things, don't we? Do different parts of the body. And then the next day, you do something with the part of the body that you didn't do the day before, because if you do the same thing every single day, not ready for it, you're apt to get sore and cause injury, those things. And so you move to different parts of your body, different muscles, different things that you're doing on different days, and you have variety. We understand that in health-wise. We ought to also understand, and then in life, some things may work and some things may not out there in this world. For the Christian who has his mind attuned to God, he's going to be out there in so many different directions that some of these things are going to pay off. And that's what he's saying there. Notice what it said. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning, and in the evening withhold not your hand, morning and evening. For you know not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good. But let me ask you something. If sowing seed in the morning works, you would prosper. Everybody say amen. If sowing seed in the evening works, you would what? You would prosper. Everybody say amen. If one of them worked, you would prosper. Everybody say amen. If the other worked, you would prosper. Say amen. And if both worked, you would prosper. Say amen. But if you didn't sow at all, you wouldn't prosper. Everybody say amen. And so that's the point of what I'm trying to say to you is the optimist, he looks at it. There's an opportunity here. Sometimes you have to look harder to see it. There is a place of success here. There's a place of victory. There's a place of prosperity here. And you may have to sort of dig around a little bit, look around, yet use some creative ideas and creative ways to make it happen. But a person who has faith in his God says, you know, through anything, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Not down here. Riches in glory. According to Christ Jesus. All those things he supplies according to what he has, what he can do, his power. It's unlimited. And so because of that, we're going to live our life that way. We're going to make stuff happen. Everybody say, make it happen. Everybody say, let's do it right now. Amen. In other words, you're not just going to back up from things. You're going to charge towards stuff. I love what I saw in Scripture when I saw that it was David that was going against Goliath. Goliath starts cursing David, right? He cursed his God, the Bible says. The Bible says that Goliath cursed David's God. But the Bible also says that David said, you know what, I'm coming against you. You're coming against me with a sword, with a shield, and all these things that you've got, and bow. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord, and this slingshot I've got, and I'm going to take you out with it. All I got to do is put one rock right in your head, and you're going down. Don't matter how strong you are, how big you are, that rock hits you in the right place and right in the head, you are going down. I'm coming against you in the name of my God. He was an optimist. Now, he had a world full of people behind him who didn't believe. They were sitting and shaking. It's a strange thing because when he came to the battle, all his family said, what did you do? Come down here to see the battle? I thought, what battle? What battle? What any battle going on? They were just all sitting, shaking and quaking. Yet at the same time, he was ready to move. He was ready to do things because he believed in his God. So don't give up no matter how big the giant is. Don't quit no matter how hard it looks, how tough it is. Don't stop just because it's hard one day. Stay with it day after day. Keep sowing. Keep putting it out there. Keep believing, trusting in God, and it'll come to pass. Everybody say amen. Now, and so we're going to look that way. Something good's going to happen. Something good's going to happen. Look with me another place. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Now, let me give you another thing I've got and I'm thinking about. I'm going to make a promise to myself. I want you to do the same thing. And if you're really going to be, I mean, this right here will separate believers from doubters. But I promise myself to think only of the best. Everybody say, think the best. To work only for the best. Everybody say, work for the best. And finally, to expect only the best. You say, the bad things happen. Well, you know, sometimes they have, but every time they're going to be a surprise. I mean, something we wasn't expecting. Something we wasn't looking for. Something that wasn't in the plan. And what happens when that hits, when that comes our ways? Well, we're going in a positive right direction with God. And so we're going to find a way around that thing over and under through it, whatever we have to do, make it happen, because that's not part of the plan. It might be a momentary detour, momentary thing that come up, obstacle in our way, but it's moving, it's getting out of the way, we're going through it. Nothing is going to stop the Word of God from working in our lives. Amen? Not anything. Now, in Philippians chapter 4 and along about verse 8, it has this powerful verse of Scripture on thinking. And as an optimist, we think the best. If you're not thinking the best up here in your mind, you're not going to be talking the best. If you're not thinking the best in your mind, you're not going to be walking the best. You're not going to be doing the best. You're not going to be going out trying for the best, making the best happen. I mean, you try to get a crowd of people up to do some things maybe, and maybe only a few are there with you. Well, that doesn't stop the person that's believing. He's going for the best. It doesn't matter. Maybe a few that today, but tomorrow's a different day. Something more is happening. Something great's happening. I'm expecting the very best out of this thing. Don't have a plan of failure. No plans of failure. When Jesus Christ talked to the 12 apostles and disciples and said to them, gave them the plan and said that I'm going back to the Father. Now you take the gospel and you spread it around to all this earth. And he said that there was not a second plan. You ever say, now if you guys don't do it, I'm going to follow through with this. He didn't say that. It was all dependent on them being obedient. And the plan of God is like that. When you have faith and you step out in the things of God, it's like alternatives don't exist. It's like God has said, and you go the direction that God has said. You do the thing that God has said. And then somebody somewhere come along and say, well, what if this? And you say, oh, I never thought of that. What if that? Well, I didn't think of that either. What if that? Why? Because I'm fixed. My mind's made up. I'm thinking for only the best. Everybody say, think the best. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he said, finally, brethren, what things soever are true, what things soever are honest, what things soever are just, what things soever are pure, what things soever are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know what the number one cause of depression is in America? People not thinking on these things. And you know what you can do? You can go and have somebody give you a pill that'll slow down your thinking till you don't know what you're thinking. And you might feel a little bit better because you just don't know you in this world, really. Or you can have somebody do this or that. But, you know, sooner or later, you need to control your own mind. Amen? I mean, your mind works well. You're just working on the negative side. You got to start working on the positive side. Think on these things. If you wanted to, has anybody, let me ask you this. Now, I know most people think that every person in this room has had such a perfect, wonderful life that they never have a cause for, you know, sadness or sorrow or anything like that. Nothing bad has ever happened to you. But has there anybody in this church, along with me, that ever had something bad happen to you? Raise your hand. Have you? Now, if you took some time to dwell on the bad, what would it do to your mental attitude? What would it do to your faith? What would it do to your optimism? It'd bring you what? Down, wouldn't it? That's all you got to do. And so the only difference is, now what if you don't think about the bad stuff that's happened and the obstacles and problems in life and start thinking about what God's Word says about you and what He says He is, and we're thinking all these things are good, honest, lovely, good report, all the, what happens if you think about those? It's going to take you what? Up, isn't it? Now, you know, whose choice is that? That's your choice, isn't it? That's why sometimes it's a very difficult thing sometimes to pray for people when they say they're depressed. Well, do you pray for them? Well, of course you pray for them. Do you love them? Of course you do. But ain't nothing changes till they change their mind. Amen? Because that's how it got there in the first place. And as long as I keep doing it, you keep doing it, anybody keeps doing what brought it in the first place, it'll stay there. Now look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, these things are those things which you have learned, or both learned, and received. Notice two parts to this. Learned and received. Some people know, but they haven't received. They've learned it. Some people know exactly what to do. Just need to remind us sometimes. They've learned and received and heard and seen. Here's the key. Little word. Do. Do those things. Ain't nothing getting any better till you start doing what you know to do. Just not. Not gonna be, you know, I can pray for you all day long. We can bring in 14 quarts of Quaker State motor oil and load you down. There ain't nothing changing for you until you start doing it. Amen? But when you do it, when you do start doing it, then he says the God of peace will be with you. Notice the peace comes. Get your mind right. How do you get your mind right? Think on the right things. Dwell on the right things. Meditate on the right things. This is wild on this one. I don't know where this came from, but there was a years and years ago, Elvis Presley sang a song in one of his movies that he did, and he said it like this: "The lady loves me, but she just doesn't know it yet." That's an optimist, amen? That's an optimist. She loves me, but she maybe that way with Sheila. She loved me, but she didn't know it. It took her a week or two to find it out. I growed on her some, I guess it was. I don't know. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now then. And so what we're doing, we're thinking the best. Back at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, because you think of the best, something's going to change in your life. Something's going to happen to you. And this is what you need to do. Know ye not that they which run in a race, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, those that run in a race, all, one receives the prize. One out of the all gets the prize. But, so what should we do? So run that you may obtain. Or, let me read it like this in the New Living Translation. Don't you realize in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Everybody say, run to win. Say it again, say, run to win. If you work somewhere, a goal, objective of yours should be, is I'm going to take over this place. I'm going to own this place one day. I know a man that lived across the railroad tracks and as a teenager walked across the tracks and asked the big man in the big house, could he have a job? The big man in the big house said, yeah. And the big man in the big house trained him and schooled him to do everything that he did. He left there, and he came back almost 20 years later and bought the man's house that was across the railroad tracks. What happened? He said, I'm going to own this place one day. I'm going to own this place one day. Amen? Amen. Amen. We run to win. But now what do we do as Christians sometimes do? Well, would you pray the Lord help me in this area? I don't need a lot. I just need a little bit. I'm just a little bit, just a smidgen. Just a small amount. I don't need much. We Christian. Why? What's wrong with asking for much? Well, let me ask you this. If God, if you on planet on earth pray a prayer and ask for a small amount, I mean, you verbally ask God, God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus, the right way to come, praying to the right person. I'm believing for this small amount. I need it, I'm expecting, I'm believing it. And God in heaven says, okay, I see that you need this small amount. I'm going to grant you the small amount. Therefore, it's going to, men's going to give in your bosom this small amount. There it comes. And you get the small amount. You know what you did? You had a miracle of prayer. And the miracle would have worked whether it was a small amount or whether it was a big amount. Because God's the one that gave it. You're the one that received it. You're the one that prayed for it. Why is it when we run the race, we run to come in fourth? We want to just come in for the rest of the crowd. Why don't you run to win? Why don't you run to win? Why don't you run to max out of that thing? Why don't you run to do what nobody's ever done before? To go where nobody's ever went before. To be what those around you say you can't be. Why are you just running just to barely? Why live a life of mediocrity? Why live a life of just barely get by down there on Grumble Alley? Why do you want to do that? Why not live a life that you're going to run to win? We're not going to do this. We're going to do this the very best that I can do it. We're going to win this race. And you know what? Whenever you shoot for the stars, you may not hit them every time. But if you get as high as the moon, that's a lot better than planet Earth, isn't it? I mean, at least you've got off the ground, haven't you? And why not set your sights high? You got a big God. And so as an optimist, we do that. We're going to win this thing. We're going to turn this thing around. We're going to make it go a new direction. We're going to bring life where there is death. I am the head and not the tail. We're going to win this thing. Everybody say we're going to win. I'm running to win. Now notice that he runs to win. He doesn't just say he wins, but he does what it takes to win. He runs to win. In other words, in life, he expects the best. That's his thoughts. That's his ideas. He's working for only the best. He's going to make it happen. He's going to do what it takes to make it happen. Run to win. He doesn't win if he's not running. And you won't win if you're not running. And so just because you say, I want to win, that's one thing, part of it, get there, but then back up and say, now I'm going to do some running to get me to be the winner. And so you got to do some stuff that's going to cause you to be that winner in life. Well, we think that way. I'm expected. Absolutely. I'm believing for the best. I'm working for the best. You know what? Let me give you one secret that will promote you in anything and everything that you ever do in life. It is such a simple thing. It is such an easy thing to do. And it'll bring promotion where you work at right now. It'll bring promotion in whatever business adventure you want to do. Here it is. Do more than is expected. Do more than is expected. If you do less than what is expected, you're not going to be around very long. Right? If you do what is expected, we sort of tolerate you and sort of smile in this day's world and say, okay. But when you do more than is expected, I'm looking for some kind of way to bless you. When you do more than expected, I'm looking where I can put you over some folks. I'm looking where I can elevate you, bring you to a higher level. When you do more than is expected, then you're going to see a great return coming to you because you're sowing and you're reaping in life. Do more than is expected, and you'll find promotion in every area of your life. Simple, isn't it? Look with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and then verse 12. I'll show you one last thing. I'll bring it to a close right here. Philippians chapter 1. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Everybody say, expect the best in every situation. Some of us think we've been through some tough stuff. Man, a few of us have been through some tough stuff. Most of us really haven't. I mean, you know, it's sort of a shame today that Christians will say, well, I'm being persecuted. Well, how are you being persecuted? Somebody said something bad about me. Oh, wow, man, you really being persecuted, aren't you? Oh, Lord, we need to pray for you. Call the whole church together and fast in prayer. Oh, that's not persecution. I don't like people saying the bad thing. Well, who does? Nobody does. But just get over it, amen? Amen? But there are people in this world really being persecuted for the cause of Christ. Look at this story of Paul here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. He said, I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. I'm almost taking up where Anthony left off this morning, Acts chapter 20. But Paul says, those things happen unto me, fallen out rather for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all places. Remember, Paul is locked up, but he's treated with a lot of respect and dignity in this lockup. He's not in the common jail or the common prison. He might would call it house arrest where he's at. And he's living in the palace. Verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxed confident by my bonds or the fact that I'm locked up, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. In other words, because they see me with the faith, even being locked up, it's bring courage and boldness unto them. So if nothing else, already we see some good stuff happening based on that. Now, he says, verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. You ever had people do that? I know a lot of folks that do that. They do. I mean, you tell them you believe God loves you and saves you and that kind of stuff, they okay with that, I guess. But you start telling them that God wants to prosper you and bless you. Then they'll start making fun of you. Then tell them, you know, God wants to make you rich. They'll just badmouth you all over town, all over the world. It's just amazing. Tell them that you believe that God heals your body. They all, you know, they get mad about that. I never understood in my life why another Christian would get mad because you pray for sick people and you believe that God heals us and you believe that God loves us and God loves us so much that He'll heal us if we get sick or have a problem. Why could that make some people mad? Yet it does. And Paul was talking about this. He said, this thing I've been preaching, some people, you know, they're doing it for envy and strife. And some are also of goodwill. Some doing it right, but there's a lot of them doing it wrong too. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. In other words, they're into this thing thinking they're just making it harder on me, thinking it more difficult on me. Verse 17, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. Are some people doing it for the right reasons, he's saying. Some doing it for the wrong. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. Notice he's rejoicing in jail. The gospel being preached by himself, by some that are against him and some that are for him. And in all of this, he's rejoicing. Now, verse 19. For I know that this shall turn. Everybody say, this shall turn. Say it again. Say, this shall turn. I know this shall turn to my salvation. You go through a hard time, a difficult time, stay in the plans and purposes of God. Stay in the will of God. Don't compromise. Refuse to quit. Refuse to give up. And have the attitude, the idea, the belief that this thing shall turn to my salvation in Jesus' name. It's the most amazing thing. I've seen so many things in my life that when the bad report came, that came and that brought the good in my life. It's the most amazing thing in my life. Not going into the whole story, but it bears it so well that when I got the letter in the mail that the company was suing me for property behind my property, wanted to get a right of way, and they were going to take 400 feet wide all the way through my property to put them in a road back there to the back of where their property, and they were suing me to get that. That seemed like bad news, but that thing turned. Because after it was over with, less than 8 months later, they didn't get no right of way. I became the owner of their property that they were suing me for. And if you'd asked me then, how could you have saw it? How could you have believed it? But yet it turned. Everybody say, this shall turn. This thing will turn. Somebody said, isn't it great that the three Hebrew children went to the fire furnace and God delivered them? Everybody say, amen. Who wants to go through the furnace? Ain't nobody doesn't. This thing will turn, amen? But that's what the three Hebrew children said. We're not worshiping your God. We're not doing it. We know our God will deliver us. But for your sake, if you think he won't, we're still not worshiping your God. But we know our God will deliver us, amen? Look at verse 20 or verse 19. For I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Notice prayer. Notice the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Notice how God is at work turning the situations around. And so as an optimist, what I look at, if I see something come my direction, it looks bad, it looks tough. I mean, look, this is, some of us don't have a reality. I can act like I do. I can act like I do. I've visited prisons, but I ain't never been on the other side of the bars. Everybody say, big difference. There's a big difference when you can visit and you can't go back home. That's a big difference. It's a big one in Anthony. It's a big difference. But you know what? Paul was in that situation, and he said, this thing's going to turn to my salvation. God's going to take this thing and use it for my good. It's going to work it out in Jesus' name. So if that be the case, what do I fear? If that be the case, what are we upset about? If that be the case, why are you depressed? Why are you discouraged? Why you don't look at the outlook of life and say, man, it's great out there. It looks good. Come on, let's go. We're going to have a great time in life. Amen? I mean, we don't have to be down and out. We don't have to walk around like we just lost our best friend and somebody shot our dog. Amen? I mean, you don't have to live life that way. Or a mouse, whichever one it might be. We don't have to live life that way. Look up. Everybody look up. Amen? Stand up with me this morning. Let's go before the Lord in prayer in Jesus' name.